Hallelujah. Everyone say control. Control. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you and we praise you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives. We praise you that your presence is in this place. Father, we pray that we would continue to have an encounter with you so that you would have full control over our lives. Just like Stephen finally gave full control to Jesus. And just like we were singing, you won't relent until you have it all. Father, I pray that as we learn about the Holy Spirit, that it's not just information, that it's impartation, and that it is life transforming, because the Holy Spirit comes to change our lives. He comes into our lives to absolutely transform. And I pray that if we don't think we need that, then help us to humble out and know that we get to be transformed. We get to be absolutely taken over by the Holy Spirit. The best life is a life that's moving in your presence, in closeness with you, in your power. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this church, Sozo Youth, and the rest of the church, that you are preparing us, and not preparing us in a way like, well, pretty soon you'll be able to. No, like you are, maybe preparing is not the right word, just empowering us and sending us forth and pushing us out and just inspiring us. You are edifying us, and you're just so good. You're always for us. You're on our side. You want us to have the best life. And the best life, Father, is a life where your Spirit is in control, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father, for Jesus being lifted up and glorified tonight, because that's what the Holy Spirit does, and that is what is best for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You guys can be seated. Tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I don't want to talk that long, and I'm not going to talk that long. The worship was awesome. Would love to do more of that if we have time. Just a couple of things I want to get to. That's it. Thank you, Lord. John 15. Can you put the John 15 verse up, please? So we want to learn about the Holy Spirit, but mostly, like I said in my prayer, I really want us to have a hunger. God wants us to experience his word, not just have knowledge of it. You know, it's good to know verses. It's good to read. You know, of course, we read. It's not a library book. It's not. It's life. It's Jesus. It's God. So in John 15, Jesus says, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Everyone say commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior. Now, we're reading out of the Passion Translation. Our church we mostly use the New King James, okay? But the New King James is absolutely an amazing translation. I'm not replacing it, but I want to read to you. You know what? Let me, Joaquin, can you just read for a little while, please? Yeah. Just read the verses.
Go till you say stop. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me, and he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him, but you will know him intimately, because he will make his home in you and will live inside you. I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Soon I will leave this world, and they will see me no longer. But you will see me, because I live again, and you will come alive too. So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father, and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return. And I will manifest my life within you. Then one of the disciples, named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it you only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus replied, loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make our dwelling place. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of my Father. I am telling you this while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Spirit of Holiness, the one like me who sets you free, he will teach you all things in my name, and he will inspire you to remember every word that I've told you.
Thank you, brother. Isn't that awesome? Man, tonight, because of the Holy Spirit, and I feel it, I feel like Jesus is right here teaching that to us, just like he taught it to the disciples. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He takes the things of God and he makes them absolutely real. Real to us. We're no different than them. They're no different than us. The revivalists, the people in Acts that we read about, we read about that before Romans. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Pastor Tamara was teaching in level 5, I think it was, of Academy of Righteousness, and she talked about how the book of Acts could be called the book of the Holy Spirit, or the Acts of the Apostles, but it's that's a Holy Spirit working through them. Well, we're like the apostles, and the Holy Spirit is still the same. He hasn't changed. But today, I want to talk to you. I want to read something from that translator. His name is Brian Simmons. And one of the things I like about Brian Simmons, yeah, he's smart. Bible translators, if they're good, you know, they're smart. They study things, study languages, linguistics. They know how to. But this guy is a missionary. He's been in all kinds of countries. He's written the Bible in different countries for people that if they don't get the word of God, if they don't call on Jesus, then they'll be without God forever. When you're doing it, when that's your motivation, then you get it right. You know what works and what doesn't. And he's, like I say, he stays true to the scripture from everything I've seen in the books that he's translated that I've read. But I'm just saying, do you get what I'm saying? It's one thing for haters and people who have videos and they tell you stuff about why God's not this and the word's not that, because they don't know and they don't know. It's like when we used to play basketball. When I used to play basketball and we'd practice. You guys can look up the Allen Iverson video where he's like, practice? We're talking about practice? Anyway. Ernie might know that. He's smiling, he's grinning. We used to practice. I remember we'd be like, all right, we'd go over it a bunch of times. Okay, then I flare out here. Then I do that. I'm dancing. And then I do this. And then, you know, and then you shoot or you rebound. But you know what? And maybe I'm like, I set a screen for somebody. And maybe I kind of go half, you know, heartedly, you know, for setting a screen. And then they're like, Paul, dude, do it right, dude. We got to practice this right. I'm like, come on, just practice. You know, and maybe we have a little argument or something, but when we're playing the other team and the other team's crowd is yelling at you and they're saying not nice things and they're ridiculing you and the other team, it's a hostile environment, and all of a sudden that guy is my best friend, because if we're not together, you know what works and what doesn't work. Do you feel what I'm saying? Like we're in this together against a common enemy. And I just feel like God wants us to, when we know what we're called to do, and Jesus has talked about how we're called to obey his commandments, and we're going to talk about what his commandments are. But when we know that, when we're actually doing that, like Brian Simmons is out there, he's bringing the gospel to people that have never heard it before, then you need something that's real. You need something that has life in it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and he brings life. He makes it real. He makes it, he empowers us. So I want to say this. So he says, He's talking about Holy Spirit, and this is what he calls him. He says, because you notice, go to verse 14, please. 16. Sorry, 16, please. So look at this. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior. Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit called another Savior? Okay, well, I better be right up here, because I haven't either until I was looking at this. But let's look at it. The Greek word, allos, means another of the same kind. As Jesus is the Savior from the guilt of sin, the Holy Spirit is the Savior who saves us from the power of sin by living through us in fullness. Come on, let me say that again. Just listen to it. Listen to it. Yeah, there you go. Say it again. The Greek word allos, that's the Greek word there in somewhere up there. Brian Simmons is, I'm not a Bible scholar or a translator. Okay, but watch this. As Jesus is the Savior from the guilt of sin, the Holy Spirit is the Savior who saves us from the power of sin. Everyone say power.
Power.
Everyone say control.
Control.
And power.
Power.
When we give up control to him, he gives us power. When we love him so much, because we know he loves us, and we love him, remember I said that verse we read? That he empowers us to obey his commands. And so with his fullness, and that's the beauty of this thing. I've lived life filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've lived life not filled with the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Filled is better. It's better. It's a better life. We read Romans 6 the other day in our chapter, and what we present our bodies to, what we present our minds to, what we give ourselves our affections to, can start to have power over us and dominate us. And all of a sudden, we've seen it for years and years. And we all battle it. We're all humans. We battle that. Well, is it okay? People in the youth group, if I do that, you're not going to go to hell. That's not really the question to ask. Paul said in Corinthians, he said that I don't want to have, all things are lawful. All things are okay. They're expedient. They're lawful. But not all things are profitable. Not all things are worth allowing them to have that influence and that power and that control in our lives. Why not give full power and good, full influence to him? Not in a religious way. Not in a religious way. I've done it in a religious way. I've been there. Maybe you can relate. You know the verses. You know what's right, but your heart's like, not there. That's when we're not filled with him. That's when, what do we have to do? Give control back to him. That's why our youth camp is so, camps are so awesome, because we get so tired that we just give up. We don't have control on the Holy Spirit. And we're just, he's pounding his word, pounding his presence, pounding worship. We're giving more control to him. And he does in our lives what he always wants to do, whether we're on a mountain or not. And I just prophesy that those days of up and down, literally and spiritually, are ending. And they can end for every one of us. And I know that I choose for them to end in my life, just a continual. The Bible says that the life of the righteous will become more and more radiant like that of the sun or the stars. We don't have to fade. We don't have to diminish. In verse 16, it also says the Greek word used here is parakletos. That's where it says Savior. And it's, well, I'll read it. Check this out. It could be translated defense attorney. Did you know the enemy is the accuser of the brethren? He accuses you and me every single day and night. And he tries to get it into your mind, You're a sinner. You stink it. You really are not good at being a Christian. You know what he, I mean, but you know, he don't say it cute like that. He says it nasty. He attacks our identity. But we have a defense attorney. Come on, somebody. Woo! Our defense attorney, he rests in heaven, but he says, it's good that I go away. Because the same as me, the paracletos, the same as me, is going to be in you and upon you and fill you and speak through you, and you can be dominated by him, and you can let him have control over your life, and it doesn't have to end. What I started and what I completed, it can be, he says, occupy till I come. All right, he says, it means one called to stand next to you as a helper. Various translations have rendered this counselor, comfort. This is what I was taught in Bible college, and it's true. It's all good, but listen to what he's saying. He's not saying a different gospel. He's saying it. A lot of times people argue, and they argue because of levels of truth. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I know that God is Savior. Oh, yeah, no, he's not my Savior. He's my Lord. Well, Lord is means he's saved me and he controls my thoughts and words. You know what I mean? Like, it's just another level of understanding. But watch this. Various translations have rendered this counselor, comforter, advocate, encourager, or helper. However, none of these words alone are adequate and fall short in explaining the full meaning. The translator has chosen the word Savior, for it depicts the role of the Holy Spirit to protect, defend, and save us from ourselves. Man, I need to be saved from myself. Does anybody else need some of that? Maybe you guys ain't old enough to know. Maybe you guys aren't old enough to have bad habits and stuff, but man, the Holy Spirit can save us from ourselves. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, is that better? So that was me. I thought it was like a tinny something. All right. Is this good or? Please tell me not to go too far down. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Can you hear me now? We good? All right. All right, check this out. He is the one who he save us from ourselves and our enemies and keep us whole and healed. He is the one who guides and defends, comforts, and consoles. Keep in mind that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, our Savior. The Aramaic word is paragleta, which is taken from the words, two root words, prak, to end, finish, or to save, and lita, which means the curse. What a beautiful word picture. The Holy Spirit comes to end the work of the curse of sin in our lives and to save us from its every effect. Paracleta means a redeemer who ends the curse. And then, you know what? I didn't give it to you, Josh or Antonio. Can you just look up Romans 8:13? And New King James is fine. So, you know what? That's pretty much all I wanted us to. I think that's all we need to get out of tonight, because that's a lot. The Holy Spirit is another Savior. And then I want to read this verse, and then I want us to respond. Band, if you can come up. Whoever, Tyler. And then do you want to just come up alone or musicians? Whatever you want to do. But the Savior of the Holy Spirit. Are you still looking for that? Okay. I'll tell you a story. When I got saved, I knelt down on my knees, and the pastor, the associate pastor, he taught me the four spiritual laws, and he told me about how I could put Jesus on the center of my heart. And he drew pictures, and it was all biblical, and it's all good. Four spiritual laws. And I accepted Jesus Christ. And then the very next day, in the morning time, and his daughter was a junior at the high school that I went to. I was a senior, and she was really cute. Her name is Jenny, and I had like a little crush on her and stuff. And believe it, I was like a shy, kind of insecure kid. And all of a sudden, I'm on the service road by the baseball diamond and softball and football field and stuff. I'm walking to class. I got my volleyball bag over my shoulder. And she comes up and she says, Paul, my dad told, because her dad was the one that got me saved, my dad told me what happened last night. And she was like, oh, yeah, it was really cool. She was really happy. Because it was Tuesday, and then on Monday night, I got saved. I didn't even know that word saved. And I remember inside, I was like new. I was changed. I remember like looking at the grass, like, wow, I didn't know it was that green. Like, wow, I didn't know. You know, it was like, you know, it was just amazing. But I looked at her, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I was kind of like that awkward nerd kid. I didn't know how to express what was in my heart for Jesus. Probably because she was like, you know, intimidating me too. But that's not, but the point is, but fast forward to a few months later, and all of a sudden, I met this a friend of mine named Alan, and he was a security guard at the high school the year before, and Alan, I started playing basketball with him at a church league, and he would come on a Monday night, and he would come from, he'd be all excited about Jesus. I'd say, what do you do before basketball? He said, I go witnessing. I go and I tell people about Jesus at the mall. And I said, something in my spirit said, Dad, I want that. I want to do that. I'd grown a little bit. I'd known God a little bit more. And he says, well, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not taking you out until you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said this in Luke 24, I think it's verse 49. He didn't, as much as he wanted them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. Everyone say, promise of the Father. And so, there's a long story, maybe I'll share it next time, whatever, but I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, which wasn't an encounter, which was an experience, but it's also a continual experience, and that's what the Bible talks about that. It's being filled. That's what it means in Ephesians 5. All of a sudden, I started going out with him to the mall, and I had way more power, and it was not a problem at all to tell people about Jesus, to tell people about how much he loved them. I remember there was this woman, I could tell you all kinds of stories, but this one woman, this little Asian woman, and my partner had gone over there, was talking to somebody, and I was so compelled, I wanted to tell her about Jesus, so I kept distance, like it's Joaquin, I don't want to like scare her, like a giant, big old guy, like, hey, I want to tell you something, you know what I mean? Like, that's weird, but I said, hey, ma'am, and I had tracks, man, can I tell you about Jesus? Or whatever I said to him. And she's like, oh, I'm Buddhist. And so I said, oh, tell me about that. And so she's like, really? Okay. She's like, dang, what do I know? She's probably thinking. But she starts telling me about this and that and how she can achieve this level and they can do that level and then well, her dad did this and whatever she told me. And all of a sudden, I was listening, but this is like 20 years ago. And so, we're getting near her car, and I said, and it just came out of my spirit. I said, "Oh, does your God love you?" It just came out because everything I heard was like, "Ooh, I don't want that because my God loves me. He loves me. I love Him." And she stopped, and she looked at me, and she said, and you can see her countenance was changed, like the walls came down, and she reached out and she took that track. And listen, guys. She didn't get saved right there. But remember, when we're going out and doing this, because Pastor Drew is talking about RIPE, and it's not just Pastor Drew, it needs to be our vision. It needs to be what we do. Read, invite, pray, and expect. And as we're doing it, we need to make a commitment. We need to give control of God so that the Holy Spirit works through us, but play our part. I can tell you all kinds of times when people got saved, But not always, not all the time. I remember telling this one guy, we were at, fast forward a couple years in Bible college, and he says, sorry, bro, I thought I was done. But, but the Holy Spirit, we're witnessing over here, and I'm talking to this guy, and like he's telling me things, and the boldness of the Holy Spirit came upon me. And I said, bro, whatever, I don't know if I called him bro, but I said, actually, I wasn't smiling, but I still had love. It was all God. I don't think I was smiling, because you'll hear what I said, and it's like, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, I'm going to say it in a nice way, but I didn't say, you know what I'm saying, it was boldness. I can't, it's not on me like that right now, so you're going to go to hell, and every day of your life, this is awkward for you. You're going, every day of, can you take it? Okay, all right. Every day of your life is going to replay this day when I tried to tell you about Jesus and you rejected him. That, you better have the Holy Spirit if you're going to yell at somebody like that. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be a grown man talking to a college kid, telling them that they're going to hell and they're going to have a torment of remembering that day and what you said. Because what was God doing? I firmly believe that was the Holy Spirit. Because he says that he draws men to repentance by a goodness, but he also says that sometimes by his severity. Sometimes we got to get shook up. I don't know, maybe that guy's a pastor somewhere. Maybe he came to Jesus. Because God just used me as a vessel to speak those walls down. And because the Holy Spirit has the control through me to do that. What's the first commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the commands that the Holy Spirit helps us to do. And I want to respond. I want the Holy Spirit to control. And I like what somebody said at our conference. I'm almost convicted, sad at myself, that some of the most powerful stories that I could tell you, and I could say more, but you know what? I can't say stories like that, except for ones that were years ago. And it breaks my heart. And God is breaking my heart, I'm thankful that he is. Because I don't want to be somebody that just knows things about the Bible, or I can hold a mic wrongly or rightly, whatever, and just tell people about Jesus. That's not... I remember the C.T. Studd, the missionary in China, he had this saying. He said, some wish to live within the sound of church and chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard from hell. And he said that, and I thought, God, every day I would walk across the street and go to Bible college. And I said, Lord, there's a part of me that doesn't even want to be here because all these people are saved. It's a part of me that wants to be somewhere where people need Jesus and they're under the power of the enemy. Like Jesus said that one woman was bound, 19 years or something like that. Imagine that, bound by the enemy. The control of the enemy was so strong that the power, she's just under that power. And I said, Lord, I'm trading this time. I'm trading this time right here within the sound of church and chapel bell, so that one day I will be prepared to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. But tonight I'm here to confess to you that although I'm in the ministry, although I'm a pastor, minister here at this church, I know that God could be using me a lot more. And I don't feel condemned. You know what I mean? I'm not condemned. I love God. I know it's not about that. It's not about perfection. He's my perfection. Amen? But I can't go back and undo the past. But I can commit to God. So I'm answering this altar call tonight. I'm answering my own altar call. That I want God to be in control. I used to go home, or wherever I went, the Holy Spirit, left and right, would tell me, go talk to that person. And I would turn around and I would go into that shopping center and I would tell them about Jesus. I would give them a tract. I would tell them Jesus loves them. And I remember if I wasn't perfect with it, sometimes I just keep driving. But you know what? There were many times that I keep driving and the conviction of the Holy Spirit was so strong on me and I didn't want him to leave. That I turned around and I'd repent and I'd feel like he forgave me. And I'd say, okay, Lord, give me another chance because I'm going to do it next time. I'll do it. And I am giving that back to the Holy Spirit. And you know what, guys? I'm not saying your lives are easy. I'm not saying you don't have stuff going on, but I'm telling you, you're all younger than me. And you, I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you can get focused on. That's why it says the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches. What is your goal in your life? You guys get a chance to determine what you want your life to be about. Do you want Jesus to have control of your life, or do you want to be an okay Christian, or whatever? You determine it. And if you are on fire, understand that you can get to a place like I am, and you can have regrets. And thank God for the blood of Jesus, and I believe the days ahead are going to be better, way better than the days behind. Amen.